Well, it's official. Brett Kavanaugh is now an associate justice on U.S. Supreme Court, thanks in no small part to Maine Republican U.S. Senator Susan Collins. Collins was considered a key swing vote, but during a 45-minute speech on Friday, she defended Kavanaugh's judicial record and said there wasn't enough evidence to corroborate the sexual assault allegations against him. The response to Collins' decision has been as divided as the vote to confirm Kavanaugh. We've brought in our chief political correspondent, Steve Missler, to talk about that and what it might mean for Collins' political future. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Jen. How are you?
Well, it's been interesting, hasn't it? It's been interesting to observe the response to Collins' speech and her decision. Conservatives are heralding it, and progressives, of course, are seeing it as a betrayal. And we all heard the "Be Our Hero" chants and so on leading up to this. So tell us what you're seeing and hearing now that the vote is done.
Well, it's pretty much, it's a lot of what we saw in the immediate aftermath of her making her decision, which is on the right. I mean, they are just thrilled. There was Mitch McConnell during her speech. He's the Senate Majority Leader. He was one of the first to stand up and give her a standing ovation. Chuck Grassley, who's the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, which was overseeing all of these hearings over the past few weeks, gave her a hug. And she even received some kudos from Governor Paul LePage, who tweeted on Friday that he was very pleased with how she went through her making her decision. And that's notable in and of itself, because, as you know, Governor LePage has been a pretty harsh critic of Senator Collins over the past several years, and especially in the wake of President Trump being elected. Now, on the left, it's completely different. There's a lot of people who saw her speech on Friday as a betrayal, And not only that, but as a 45-minute sort of lecture and gaslighting of all of the concerns that they've expressed in the weeks leading up to her and the persuasion effort to get her to vote no. They specifically cited some of her rationale for not believing or not finding enough evidence to believe Christine Blasey Ford. And they didn't, I don't think they were very happy with the fact that she didn't ever once mention Brett Kavanaugh's temperament during that fiery hearing a couple of weeks ago. So that's the lay of the land. And I'm not, we'll see how that all shakes out going forward.
Well, of course, Collins would never have been the focus of such attention nationally and just front and center on the national stage in the last few weeks if it hadn't been for that reputation she has as being a centrist. Oh, she's always kind of labeled as a potential swing vote so often, someone who's not partisan and doesn't necessarily go and toe the party line. So does that reputation survive this vote?
Well, that's really the key question, because in the past, she's sort of always sort of irritated the far left and the far right. The far right didn't trust her. They always called her a Republican in name only or a rhino. And then on the left, they didn't believe that she's obviously a Republican. So she was siding with Republicans more often than not. Now it seems as though both sides have fully retreated to their corners, where everybody on the left is really angry and everybody on the right is very happy. The question is how do those unenrolled voters and independents, who have always been key to her really dominating victories in elections, how do they shake out? How do they deal and process with this? And I wonder, going forward, if her reputation and her legacy will be tied to Kavanaugh. So for example, if he confirms their worst fears, if he is part of a decision that, say, rolls back environmental protections or restricts a woman's right to an abortion in some way, she is going to be associated with those decisions going forward. And that very may well define how people view her as a centrist whenever her political career is over.
So obviously 2020 is coming up, and in the past, Democrats haven't really been lining up to challenge her because she's been a fixture, kind of a formidable incumbent.
And obviously, over the last couple of weeks, we've heard protesters saying that they're raising funds, they're going to challenge her if she does this. So do you see that situation changing where she's dominated the election all this? Is she going to be challenged in 2020?
Well, I do think that she will be challenged in 2020. I mean, already we've heard, seen some statements from people such as Susan Rice, for example, which is a real shocker. She was part of the Obama administration, as you know. And, you know, there was a tweet that basically said, so who's going to challenge Susan Collins in 2020? Or who's interested? And Susan Rice just responded, I am. So that's one. And then more locally, I mean, we heard from House Speaker Sarah Gideon, who also sort of hinted in a Facebook post that she might be interested in challenging Susan Collins. This is all very different because, as you noted in your question, people never really scrambled to challenge Susan Collins in the past. Now, I think you're going to see a much different scenario if indeed she runs in 2020.
Well, obviously, a lot to watch over the next couple of months and indeed the next couple of years in the run-up to 2020. Steve, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Jen.
Steve Missler is Maine Public's chief political correspondent.